Well, the year continues to stretch out ahead of us, and central to our Christian living is our faith. Now, Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, could write this of himself: "The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Our faith is based on facts, not feelings. Facts of history, and in particular three facts which are at the heart of our faith are these: that Jesus died, was buried, and was raised on the third day. These events have happened. They have happened. Historical events. And our Christian faith is pinned to those events. However, faith is not only believing that Jesus died, was buried, and was raised on the third day. Faith is believing in the Jesus who died, was buried, and was raised on the third day. I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me, says Paul. So we have faith in the Jesus to whom these three things have happened. He died for our sins, was buried on the buried and was raised on the third day. Now, Paul teaches that we are saved by grace through faith. And so we're not saved by our faith, but by God's grace. But we appropriate this grace for ourselves personally by putting our faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And this morning I'd like to focus on what could be called the two P's of faith: faith persists and faith practices. Now, Paul did not say, "Once upon a time I believed in Jesus, and so I'm going to heaven." No, he said, "The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." And at the end of the road of his life, he wrote to Timothy, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith." And so, as we continue to go on into this new year of Christian living, let us not rest on last year's faith, but live now by faith in the Son of God. In the New Testament and the Old Testament thought, faith is an ongoing or continuous trust. Three men in the Old Testament, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were thrown into a fiery furnace, and in effect they were challenged. "Do you believe that your God can save you from that fiery furnace?" And they said, "Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image which you have set up." In other words, we do believe that our God can save us, but even if he doesn't, we'll still go on trusting him. Now, I'm told that the noun faith is exactly the same word as faithfulness in the Hebrew and Greek languages. And a good example of this is given in the Old Testament prophet Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 4, which incidentally is quoted in the New Testament by Paul and by this writer of the letter to the Hebrews. The text was also the favourite text of the reformer, Martin Luther, namely, "The just shall live by faith." Now, very briefly, the story of Habakkuk is this. The prophet was worried by the revelation that God was bringing the terrible Babylonians to punish the people of Jerusalem for their sins. And knowing the tyrant's scorched earth policy, leaving an invaded territory uninhabitable and uninhabited, Habakkuk complained that it would be immoral and unjust for God to stand by while the righteous were slaughtered with the wicked and the innocent alongside the guilty. God's reply is to reassure him that, quote, the just shall live by faith. And we can paraphrase this comforting word as, those who are living right will survive the coming judgment by keeping faith. That is, by remaining faithful through it. Those who go on trusting me will not be destroyed when the Babylonians come. The just shall survive by keeping faith. That's the literal translation. And so by faith means persistent faithfulness, going on trusting. And this meaning's picked up in the New Testament. Paul, for example, in his letter to the Romans, emphasizes that the gospel reveals a divine righteousness is now available to human beings that is from faith to faith, Romans 1:17. And some translations make that phrase very clear. By faith, from first to last, a way that starts from faith and ends in faith, a process begun and continued by their faith. And Paul quotes Habakkuk 2:4 as scriptural confirmation. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who goes on believing. This is the present continuous tense. Even for it is by faith from first to last, even as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And so faith is not a one-off thing. It's not even last year's thing. It is a continuous thing if it is real faith. It becomes faithfulness. Faith is not a single step, but many, many steps. A walk, a journey of a lifetime. In the New Testament, in this letter to the Hebrews in chapter 11, after mentioning people like Moses, Noah, Abraham, and other heroes of faith, it says this. All these were still living by faith when they died. Therefore it says, you run your race, looking to Jesus, the one who begins your faith and the one who finishes it. In other words, keep it up. Go on trusting. Die in faith after living in faith. And also in chapter 10 of this letter to the Hebrews, we hear this. We are not among those who shrink back and are lost. We are among those who go on believing and are saved. As it is written, the just shall live by keeping faith. So faith is persistent faithfulness. Faith is a continuous thing, and it has this element in it of keeping faith, of going on trusting. But the Bible also mentions that some, quote, have made shipwreck of their faith, and some have wandered away from the faith. Yes, faith persists and faith practices. And before we think about the practice of faith, I want to share an example of a friend of mine who is a very encouraging example of someone persisting in faith. A few years ago, he lost his son who died. Last year, his wife died. And then his son-in-law found that he had a serious cancer. And as you can imagine, through all this, he was pretty shattered. But he continues to walk with the Lord and depend on the Lord. At Triple C last Tuesday, Cheryl gave a little devotion about persevering in prayer. And one reason she gave why this may be needed is that God's timing may not be ours. Faith persists when we persevere in prayer. And now the second P of faith, faith practices. The New Testament teaches that faith is active, not passive. It's not just something to be professed with words or in words, but practiced in deeds. In James's letter, he says to someone, "Show me your faith apart from your works, and I by my works will show you my faith." In other words, James points out to us the importance of the practice of faith. I will show you my faith by what I do. I believe that two new actions of faith in our church here are the prayer stop and the men of faith. Now, James makes the valid point that a profession of faith without its practice is of no more help to us than a corpse. It cannot save. He says, "Faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so faith apart from works is dead." Well, a preacher once asked the congregation, "How many of you believe in me?" And some put up their hands. And he said, "Well, I had no way of telling whether their profession of faith meant they possessed faith in me," so he went on to ask make another statement. He said, "If those of you who raised your hands would like to give me all your money, I'll look after it for 5 years for you and then return it with interest. If you do that, I'll know you believe in me." Now, the point is that you cannot know that a person believes in you until they've done something that shows they trust you and have taken a risk that you might let them down. James says, faith without actions is dead. If you really believe in someone, you show it in your actions. For example, you believe in the doctor when you put your life in the hands of a surgeon and sign the paper. The only faith the New Testament recognises is faith that acts. Not just accepting the truth of God's word, but acting on the truth of God's word. There's a story about a man who went out for a walk one dark night across the countryside, and not seeing it, he walked over the edge of a cliff. And as he fell down, he felt a branch of a tree, and he grabbed it and he desperately hung on. After a while, he called out, "Is anyone there?" A voice answered, "Yes, my son, I'm here." "Can you get me out of this?" "Yes, if you have faith." "What do I have to do to have faith?" "Let go of the branch." "Is there anybody else up there?" Now, faith is when you let go, when you jump, take the risk, when you act on the word of God as it comes to you. And James in his letter gives two examples. Rahab, she was a prostitute, she was an ancestor of Jesus, but she showed faith in the God of Israel when she hid the Israelite spies in Jericho at great risk to her life and got them safely out of the city. And Abraham showed faith when he took his only son, probably in his early 30s, to a mountain, Mount Moriah. He was prepared at God's request to offer his son as a sacrifice. He risked the entire future of his whole family. And both these people, Rahab and Abraham, risked their whole future, and they acted in faith on what they believed God was telling them to do. In the letter to the Hebrews, in the 11th chapter, it lists great men and women of faith in the Old Testament, and all of them revealed their faith by doing something. Noah built an ark. Abraham left home for an unknown country. Joshua marched round the walls of Jericho, and Rahab hid the Israelite spies, and so on and so on. And some of them, we didn't read this part, but some of them faced terrible adversity by faith. God kept them through that and enabled them to overcome these difficulties. They didn't always have a bed of roses. Faith does not assure you of having that, but it will be with you through these trials. But all these men and women trusted God and put their faith into practice. They acted in faith. They believed what God said. They believed he meant what he said, and they acted accordingly, and they acted on what he said. And every illustration of faith in that 11th chapter, really, as you read it, is what somebody was able to do because they trusted God. Now, there may be a mountain or two in our lives as we go through our lives. How on earth can we deal with that? By faith in God. So we hear the exhortation in today's reading to Christians. Let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. That is the one who starts it off and who finishes it off. The one who went to and through the cross for the joy that lay beyond. I'd like to summarise this reading from Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 in two statements. Stay the course and stare at Jesus. Stay the course. Let us run with perseverance or endurance the race God has set before us. Now, when a person accepts the Lord Jesus, believes in the Lord Jesus, that person has really entered the race. What sort of race is it? It's not a 100-metre sprint. It's more like a cross-country or long-distance race, isn't it? It calls for perseverance and endurance. To stay the course, stay the distance, not drop out or drop off or take a shortcut, which isn't really a shortcut. Now, if you and I are to stay the course, stay the distance, there are two things in particular to do. Strip and stick. Strip. We're told here, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Well, brothers and sisters, are there any weights slowing us down? I guess each of us will need to reflect on that for ourselves. What may slow me down may not slow you down, and vice versa. So let's have a bit of honest reflection about, are there any weights slowing me down? But having said that, what slows us down may not be a bad thing in itself. Gumboots and dry as a bone. Well, they're not bad things. They're good for bad weather, but they're not good for running in. Now, I knew of someone who used to go out golfing three Sundays out of the four in a month. Now, golfing can be good. There may well be golfers among us. But it's not good when it takes you away from worship with other Christians. A weight slowing me down could be something that's hindering my progress, your progress in Christian growth or in Christian witness or in Christian service. And we're told, strip off the sin that so easily trips us up, or sin which clings so closely. I don't know whether you've ever tried to run through boggy ground in the winter. You don't get very far. We are to strip off whatever tends to cling or tends to stick, pull us down, hold us where we are. Is there any mud that's clinging to me? By the grace of God, let me strip it off. Stay the course, and so strip, but also stick. And let us run with perseverance the race that God has set before us. Well, that's sticking with it. It's not enough to start the race. That's a great thing when we see someone turn to the Lord. But God wants us to finish it as well, doesn't he? Towards the end of his life, Paul wrote a letter in which he said, "I have finished the race." Now, to finish the race calls for sticking at it. And therefore, one thing we may have to watch out for is drifting. I don't know whether you've got a boat at home. You may have been out in a dinghy or a rowboat sometime, and you look up at the shoreline and you exclaim, "I've drifted." It can be gradual. It can be subtle. Listen to what we're told in the first part of the letter. So we must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may drift away from it. It's not enough to hear. What is heard needs to be met with faith in the hearers. And then the writer speaks even more strongly when he says this. So what makes us think we can escape if we ignore this great salvation? We know if we ignore or neglect, say, the paintwork on our house, what will happen. Or if we neglect our garden, what will happen to it. Or if we neglect our health. Well, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? Now, drifting in a boat can be prevented if the anchor is put down. And drifting and sliding away from the gospel that we've heard can be prevented if we put an anchor of faith into the truth, so to speak. Now, to stay the course involves stripping and sticking, but most importantly, staring at Jesus. Let us run with perseverance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. Do you remember the story of how Peter was in a boat and Jesus was on that, walking on that water, and, "Can I come to you, Lord?" And Jesus said, "Yes, come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, beginning to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." It's a good thing when you feel you're sinking, cry out personally to the Lord. He's the best one to call out to. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "O man of little faith, why did you doubt?" So we're to stare at Jesus, and particularly in those times of our lives that we feel we're going through a trial or difficulty, brothers and sisters, don't take your eyes off Jesus. He's called the champion who initiates and perfects our faith, or the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, or the author and finisher of it. Well, as the pioneer, he's like a trailblazer. He's gone before us and laid the trail for us to follow, and we follow by faith in him. Now, he really started us off in the Christian life, the Christian race, called us into it, but he's also the perfecter of faith. Now, he got to the end himself, and his faith was perfect. And as you and I go on trusting in Jesus, he will get us to the finishing line as well and perfect us. Well, he went to the cross, and then he was given a crown, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. He kept his eyes on the future joy, and you have future joy ahead of you. The gospel is the gospel. Not only he died, but he was raised. That is giving us a tremendous hope. He was an overcomer, but listen to what he promises the believer who trusts in him and who overcomes. I read from the Revelation. To the one who overcomes, I'll give a place with me on my throne, just as I myself overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. And I guess in our lives, there's all sorts of reasons that we feel I've got to overcome this. Be an overcomer, brother and sister. Continue to lean on Jesus to be an overcomer and his spirit in your life. Well, there are two P's of faith. Faith persists, faith practices. In other words, Christian faith is an ongoing trust expressed in action. Running this race of faith, two important things. Stay and stare. Stay that course and stare at Jesus. May we persist in practice this year. May we stay and stare. Now, to conclude, I just want to point us back to the cross and the resurrection, that we may be strengthened and encouraged in our faith. It was the mercy and love of God the Father behind the cross that led to the cross and the resurrection of Jesus. And why he did it was to secure our forgiveness, our friendship with him, and our fitness to be with him forever. Dwell on those things and our faith will grow. But remember, God's hand is stronger than your hand. And what I mean is, it's not just our effort. Yes, we've been thinking about faith in action, but it's what the Holy Spirit can do through you that will ultimately count. It's God's work in you and me. It's God's work in this church. And he calls us to cooperate, and that's where our faith comes in. His hand's bigger. Yes, we are hanging on to him the best we can, but his hand is actually hanging on stronger to you and me as we walk together with him. Paul could say this to the Corinthian church: you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end. He will sustain you, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let me pray. Ever-living God, increase in us your gift of faith.